welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and my favorite topic, sex.
Oh, sex?
And that means Todd Anderson is creeping the show today. He's back.
Woo! Glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back, too. Mahalo.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I hope you got some fun and sun in beautiful Hawaii.
I am still as pale as I was before.
We love you that way.
A ginger.
Yes.
And I do not tan.
And you use lots of sunscreen.
I use tons of it, and I listen to lots of people make jokes about my skin tone.
Really?
And it never gets tiresome.
No, I bet it doesn't.
Those jokes are so much fun.
And they're always funny.
Oh, hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like bending over laughing, yeah. Knee slapping.
Because it always catches me by surprise. How pale I am. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're
right. God, I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine if it was like, wow, you're so brown. Like if somebody said that, yeah,
actually,
that would be really.
Actually, my wife said that to somebody.
To somebody else? Oh, yeah.
She said, how would you feel if I said, wow, you're so brown?
Right.
Because he was an Indian man.
Yes.
And he was like, well, that's racism. And she's like, well.
Oh, my God.
Well,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, you maybe get to be cute.
Oh, thanks.
So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Too bad for them. So we're going to talk about something today.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Viagra for women.
Wait, what?
Have you heard about this?
Wait, will this give women 4-hour-long erections?
Well,
that doesn't seem to make sense.
That is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because to call it Viagra for women, mm-hmm, is actually misleading.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
So, let's talk about what this is, because it's a little bit controversial. They just actually were approved.
What does it do? Like, what's it supposed to do?
Well,
make you like squirt and stuff? I'm asking questions.
What is the obsession with squirting?
I'm not obsessed.
In the world, it seems. It just seems like people are really talking about this a lot. I'm like, well, is it necessary? I mean, yay for you. If you squirt, that's fine. Like, great. Yay.
Have all the time, though.
Yeah. It's like this goal.
Is it a goal?
It's a goal. Like,
oh, okay.
Maybe I've been reading some, men's sex stuff, just to like get up on what they're learning about and what the coaches are talking about, because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. And they really talk a lot about like how to make women squirt.
Oh, it's, men do.
Yeah, men do. Like, they're kind of,
I can tell you why. You want to know why?
I want to.
It's really simple. Pornography.
Oh, all right.
Because now squirting's a big thing in pornography.
Oh, okay. Well, then that
explains it. Well, it's the evolution of pornography. One, right. Squirting is very visual.
Yes, that's true.
And which is good for pornography because it's a visual medium. It's also
You to say pornography like 8 more times.
It's also a new kind of extreme sexual thing, which pornography continues to evolve into.
Right.
Because I don't know if you remember when I was young. I know you're not as old as I am, but when I was young,
a young kid,
just coming of age.
Yes.
Pornography was not easy to come by. There was no such thing as the internet.
Right.
The first porn I ever had was a bunch of magazines I found on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Which is gross when you really think about it.
When you really think about it, we don't want to think about it.
It's very gross.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too much. But that was my first porn. But like back when, as I grew up and discovered porn movies, mm-hmm, if someone took it in the butt, holy shit.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Right.
But
now that's become.
Yeah. By the end of the 90s, I was like, if there wasn't butt sex in a sex scene, I was like, this porn is bullshit.
Right. So now if there's no squirting, this porn is bullshit.
It's insane. Now porn is like, I feel old because porn has gotten insane. It's just like.
It's kind of upsetting.
Stuff blowing out of all sorts of orifices. Everybody's drenched in garbage. I don't know what
And yet women are apparently hyposexual.
Hyposexual?
Thus the need for Viagra for women.
Well, okay, what does this do?
Okay, all right. Here's their concept, all right, for advertising, that women are underserved in the pharmaceutical sexual aid market. Okay, the commercial is sort of like, you've got 16 ways to get your dick hard, and we've got nothing. And it's time to, God, I really should know this.
But I'm super glad we're focusing on this instead of curing cancer.
Right. Even the playing field is basically what they're saying. In fact, I think the slogan might be 26 and 0, because there's 26 options for men and 0 for women. But actually, what women should know is that hyposexuality, the technical diagnosis, it isn't even in the DSM-4 anymore, DSM-5 anymore.
Wait, what is hyposexuality?
Hypo means undersexed.
Undersexed. Okay?
Sorry, I should
As opposed
have clarified
to hyper.
That. Yes.
Hypersexuality.
Okay, so like you have hype. Yeah.
I see.
Thank you, Dr. Todd.
I'm not a doctor.
Yes, for...
I do play one on television.
Have you? Let's not digress. Okay. So,
yeah, you're the worst guy is a doctor.
Duh.
He's not a good one, but he's a doctor.
But he got through school. So...
Questionably.
This is theoretically to treat lack of desire. Okay.
I see.
So if you look at what Viagra does, okay, Viagra was supposed to work for something else. Uh-huh. And it turned out that men would have these long lasting erections when they were using this drug. So they thought, maybe that would be handy. So excellent choice of words.
Yeah.
And it literally engorges the penis. Okay.
Literally.
For women, this quote, Viagra for women. Mm-hmm. Does not engorge the clitoris. This is not how it works. It doesn't increase blood flow to
That's too bad.
The vagine. Okay.
I would like to see an overly engorged clitoris.
For like 4 hours.
For 4 hours.
That'd be awesome, right? Interestingly enough, Viagra for men, literally the blue pill, for women who are on antidepressants, who have trouble orgasming.
Because of the antidepressants.
Is that a verb, orgasming?
It is now.
It is now. Reaching orgasm. Mm-hmm. It can be very helpful.
Sure.
So some doctors are actually prescribing Viagra for women to help increase blood flow and increase their ability to have an orgasm. Because it's a very common side effect on an antidepressant that you
This is
have
starting...
Less
Starting to sound like there was an old woman who swallowed a fly.
She swallowed a blue pill.
She swallowed a pill. And then we got to put a spider in there, and then more pills, and then a horse.
Okay, so if you're on an antidepressant, it is common to have less sex drive and to have trouble orgasming.
Sure.
Okay. So
that's true for both genders.
For both genders, absolutely. Yeah. So this pill, this quote Viagra for women, which I need to be getting the actual name of the drug here for everybody. It works as an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. It actually works on your serotonin. So what we're working with is the mind instead of the body.
Sure.
Right? And on one hand, that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because women seem to be more... what would we say?
Mentally turned on than
yeah,
like visually turned
on? There might be more going on mentally that has to do with desire than physically. Like just because you get a bunch of, blood rushing down to her parts doesn't necessarily mean she's going to want to be there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So...
Unlike men who have a constant blood flow to those parts and then just want to go. They don't need to think about it.
They
want to
go. But is that really true, though?
No.
No. See, let's not.
No.
Don't start, perpetuating stereotypes, Todd. Okay. So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, we're going for the mind.
Okay.
Okay. And on the other hand, women are complaining that they don't have desire,
right?
Physically, because in their brain they don't. And this works with serotonin. So to me, it sounds like mild ecstasy, frankly. It's sort of like, well, let's just get your serotonin levels up and then your you know, asshole of a partner will seem like a really cool person and you'll want to have sex with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's really how it's going to work. Okay.
Right.
Because the reason that it's controversial is because, particularly a few years ago, they had a really small trial and mm-hmm. the placebo was just as effective.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So take this. I mean, there's one doctor who said, give everybody a vitamin that's pink and call it, you know, pink Viagra, and, you know, you'll have just as much success. But Big Pharma doesn't get to make a whole bunch of money.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So they have failed twice to get approved by the FDA. All right. So the FDA came to them and said, you need to do more clinical trials, blah, blah, blah. So they did. And 2015, they're going to get to make a whole bunch of money selling you female Viagra.
Okay. So, okay.
Okay. And we don't really know if it works, because the argument against it is that there are relational issues, emotional issues that are the root of
the lack of hyposexuality.
Yeah, yeah. Like lack of desire. How do you medicate for lack of desire?
Right.
I say a glass of red wine.
Yeah. Although that makes me sleepy. Red wine.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does make you sleepy.
It makes me sleepy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, for me, it's more, you know, like a couple bong hits or something, and then I'm good.
Which, of course, you have a medical marijuana card for.
Of course. Yeah. And I only do it in California, where my medical marijuana card is valid.
Only. Do you know, I was in Washington.
Oh,
and
did you do recreational marijuana?
I went into a store.
How was it?
It was boring. Honestly, it was like the storefront was, what was it called? It was like Evergreen Market or something.
Of course,
I mean,
it was. Yeah.
And you just had to be 21.
Sure.
And they didn't card me, motherfuckers.
Assholes.
So you just walk in and they've got a few choices and they sell some crafts over here in this table, and they sell some weed over here in this table. And
crafts meaning delivery systems?
No. Actually, that's
just
funny.
Like,
I didn't even see anything
caps?
Like that. No, it was like just little prepackaged things of buds, and these people were selling like scarves or juice or something. I don't know what the fuck they were doing with it. I couldn't answer any questions. I mean, it was like
high.
You know, your weight. No, I don't know. It was like
they weren't high.
I don't know. It was just not nearly as much fun as a California dispensary. I mean, those places are trying.
Oh, the dispensaries, you know? So, are fantastic.
Right. So you know. So anyway, as you said, mm-hmm. a little hit of weed and a glass of wine. Boom. Like,
right.
I say, why put stuff into your brain that's going to affect your serotonin levels?
Right.
You know, that's my opinion. I don't feel that they have proved themselves yet. That's really where I'm going with this.
Well, I mean, I think all drugs, I don't know about this drug, but I think all drugs can have their place with certain individuals. But things like Viagra on the male side, I think, are overprescribed. You know, because especially...
Do you think a lot of people get them prescribed recreationally, though?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I do. And you know, I mean, like, how... I don't know. I mean, it sucks when your manhood is I guess, on the line and you want to get it up and you can't. I mean, there are people who just can't get it up. But I think other people...
No,
maybe,
that's a real issue.
Maybe a man, the male version of a lack of desire, or, you know, that could be dealt with in other ways other than a pill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think just doctors in general throw too many pills at people, you know, on a regular basis, not just Viagra. And I think for some people, those pills are the right thing, and for other people, they're not. I don't think there's like a magic, you know, bullet for all these problems. And there certainly can't be a magic bullet for your lack of desire.
No. And then I think that's what people really should understand when they're, you know, if you ask your doctor about this drug, there were maybe 1,200 healthy people used in the trials, and like a total of maybe 14,000 people. Not to say that if you're on antidepressants you're not healthy, but that's just how they describe it in the medical journals when they're talking about how the studies were done. That you've got people that weren't on any other medications, you've got people that are on antidepressants, and people that were on various other medications, and But 14,000 people is still, I think, a relatively small trial when you're looking at a drug that has had a high, that has, is barely competing with the placebo.
Right.
Right. The placebo meaning they took a sugar pill. They didn't know whether they were taking the medication or not. And it had a placebo effect, meaning their sex drive was up, or that they felt that they had more, a more satisfying sexual experience.
Well, and it sounds like what you're saying about the drug, and correct me if I'm not understanding it, but the male Viagra treats a very physical problem.
Yes.
Like a physical inability to get an erection.
Right.
Whereas it sounds like this female Viagra is...
putting you in a better mood.
Putting you in a better mood. Yeah. So it's not like treating... It isn't a physical problem necessarily. It doesn't, like, it, you know,
exactly.
With women, if they're having a physical, actual physical problem, it means, you know, they're not creating their own natural lubricant.
Right.
But all you need to fix that is a bottle of lubricant.
Yes.
Right?
But there's also a female response cycle where the vaginal opening gets longer and there's more sensitivity down there, and there's a lot of things that happen, and lube can sort of get the party started.
Right,
sure. But for some women postmenopausal, there can actually be pain and a difference physiologically in their body. And oftentimes they'll use hormone replacement or localized hormone use, like a ring, you know, to help with those things.
But the Lady Viagra doesn't help with those things.
But the Lady Viagra doesn't help with any of those things.
Right.
It's only affecting your brain chemistry.
Right.
That's all it's doing. And so I think it's interesting that the placebo was so successful, because I do think that there's something about kind of deciding that you're going to take responsibility for your sexual desire, right? There's something just even in that action of taking a pill that says, I want to have desire, and I'm going to take this pill to do so, right?
Right.
And that in itself is really powerful.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I saw The Matrix. There were two pills. And he took the one that took him to the crazy place. Could have stayed in the regular place, but he went to the crazy place.
To sex or not to sex?
Yeah. It was a Lady Viagra or a placebo. He took the
Lady Viagra, apparently.
I guess.
Well, okay. And with that said, because you don't want to be tripping, you want to ask your doctor, because be clear, okay, that this is not, like Todd said, this does not affect you physically. This is not solving some sort of physical issue for you. This is actually affecting your brain chemistry. So are you on another antidepressant? This is going to affect your serotonin levels. So you want to make sure, if you're on an SSRI and that's affecting your serotonin levels, that you can combine this medication, mm-hmm. right? And if you are on an SSRI, you might want to ask your doctor about male Viagra and if that can help you physically. Right. Because if you know, that other medication is decreasing your desire or your ability to have an orgasm, you might be able to get some actual physical help from the other from the male Viagra. So some doctors are prescribing that. It's worth looking into if you feel that that's really your issue. But as far as sort of, you know, taking this pill and having it affect, you know, sort of solve your desire issue, I think it's really important to think about whether or not you have been taking some responsibility for your desire
mm-hmm.
up to this point,
mm-hmm.
right? Because women, and we're going to talk about this more in the next episode, about menopause and desire and hormones and just how important sex is in your relationship and in your marriage. And the fact that we don't really look at sex first when we have couples in therapy, which I think we should. And those therapists that think that are sort of renegades, you know, the people that are like, hey, when was the last time you had sex? Why don't we just start there? You know,
well, and this pressure
mm-hmm.
to have desire
yes.
on women to have desire. I think it's almost, you know, it's not a double-edged sword. It's like a slippery slope. I mean, if you feel pressure,
uh-huh.
if anyone feels pressure to
male
feel
or
a certain
female.
Way,
sure.
they're going to naturally pull back. So maybe all this like Viagra shit, just the men having these 4-hour erections that they need to put somewhere. Now women are feeling
like,
too
oh, I better
pressure.
Take a pill so I can handle
yeah,
this. And
I don't
that
know.
Again, that's and that's sort of what I was taking a very long time to get to is that desire in your relationship is important, but we have to look at why. Like keeping your sexual relationship in your marriage is really important. Nobody gets married to be celibate. And, you know, some of these doctors are saying, we really, really need these drugs because it's tragic. I have these women coming into my office who don't want to lose their relationship because they just don't have the desire to have sex. And I get that. But I really think it's important for us to take to look at the relational aspect and the communication aspect, because it's okay to not to have a mental desire without a physical desire that goes along with it. And if you can communicate that and your partner can give you time to kind of get in your body, right, and get all those juices flowing, then now we've got intimacy, we've got communication, we've got hot sex that's going to happen because you took an extra 15 minutes.
Right. And, you know, the truth is the same shit can happen to men. It just, it the situation may not come up that much, you know, but if you have somebody, I mean, just if you're a man, put yourself in the shoes of a woman and imagine somebody's demanding you to be desirous of them.
Right.
It's like, it's pressure to perform.
Right.
If you're a dude, you're not going to perform
and
either.
In that moment, I mean, I've had many moments where I love my boyfriend. I haven't seen him in a while. I might be, you know, hormonally like PMSing or whatever, but I know I want the intimacy. I know I want to connect. I know I want to be close. My body is completely someplace else, like completely numb, you know, and I have to communicate that. I have to be like, I just want to be close to you. You know, might take me a little while to get into my body.
Sure.
Great. That's not that hard to say.
No.
You know?
And it's amazing when you say those things, too. Like, how quickly you wind up getting into your body. Like, once you're, like, honest
once the pressure's
and everybody,
off,
when the pressure's off, and you're like, oh, now I am horny. How weird.
Right. Yeah. And it also gives the man a sense of, like, oh, I got something to do. Okay. Like,
exactly.
I want to do ya, and my job is to get you in the mood to want to me to do ya. Mm-hmm. This is fun. I've got, like, a project.
Yeah.
So he, you know, you can ask, like, what do you want? You want me to rub your feet? You want me to pat your back? Do you want, you know, like, whatever you want to do. Like, I don't know, cuddle and talk, whatever. This is about your relationship and your intimacy and allowing that process to happen organically. And like I said, the fact that you're willing to take a pill because you're concerned about your desire, that's a good sign.
Sure.
Like, that's a good sign that you're thinking, I know some of this is coming from me. Like, I want to work through it. I want to want my husband. I want to want my partner. That's great news. My suggestion before you run to the doc, all right, and throw some serotonin enhancing drug into your body is to do some research, talk to your partner, let them know where you're at, okay, and start that communication going.
Yeah. So what you're saying basically is pharmaceutical treatments should be your last line of defense.
I would say so. You know, like I think that Viagra is a godsend for many men.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it really is. And I know that antidepressants are a godsend for many people. And yes, particularly if you're going through menopause, you're going through a difficult hormonal shift. If this is something that works for you, then that's fantastic. But just like Viagra is not going to solve what's going on in a guy's head, like you can still lose your erection when you're on Viagra or Cialis. Yep, you can.
Yeah.
Then
if your problem is mental and not physical, then there's nothing the physical drug's going to do for you.
If a woman is like the whatever the negative haze is gone and she's, you know, more into her partner and feeling like she's more likely to have a satisfying sexual experience, if he's not in tune with her needs or present with her or whatever, that's not going to work either.
No.
Right? So no pharmaceutical is going to solve what's going on at the basis of your relationship and intimate relationship.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that would be my suggestion. I'm all about informed consent.
Yeah.
Like, do as much research as you can. Ask questions. I got to be honest with you. Your doctors are not going to have all the answers. They're not going to know everything. They get a pharmaceutical rep that comes by and tells them how it works and why it works in about, I don't know, 30 seconds, right? And then they start prescribing. So if you ask your doctor and you don't get satisfying answers, you know, do more research.
Mm-hmm.
Find out.
Mm-hmm.
Because these trials were pretty limited. And like I said, if it works for you, fucking fantastic.
That's great.
Have a great time.
Right.
But if it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, okay?
Right.
So that's really where we're coming to. So, Todd,
mm-hmm.
where do we find you? Is you're the worst starting again now?
No.
No?
I don't think it's going to start till September.
Oh, okay.
But you can watch me on the Film Pigs on Geek Nation. And you can go to ToddRobertAnderson.com if you want to look up my stuff.
And just stare at him.
And just stare at my photos.
Awesome. Okay, you can like me at Sophie Venable on Facebook. And if you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe because that would totally help my cause. My book, MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous, is available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I would like to thank the wonderful Maria Sperlozzi and the good people here at Sideshow Network. And thank you, Todd, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.